That was much better. Have you not heard the good news? He is risen. He went to the cross. He went to the grave, but it could not contain him. He is risen. There, I read something on Facebook this week, so I know it's true. It's pretty accurate. Anyway, there are like 4,200 religions across the world. But there's only one empty grave. There is only one risen Lord and Savior. Amen. And we serve him. We love him. And we thank him for all he does. We thank him that he is alive and well and still works among us and through us and invites us into his plan and invites us into eternity. But it's still our choice to go through with that. It's still our choice to say, yes, Lord, I choose you. Yes, Lord, I serve you. Yes, Lord, I will obey you. Before we release the kids to Children's Church, they have a Bible verse they've been working on, and they're going to come forward and recite that for you. I'm going to put them on Kathleen's microphone, Riley. So if Linda's going to invite her class, or I'm not sure how this is working, but it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, so some of them aren't here today. Come on up with me if you can. Some of them aren't here today, but we've been practicing this verse. You've been practicing with us. Everybody ready? But here is how
God has shown his love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8.
Awesome. You finished? All right. That's awesome. They've been working on that verse and studying what that means to us as believers in Christ Jesus. While we were still sinners, or enemies of the kingdom of God, he still loved us. He still gave his life for us, even when we did not love him. That's pretty powerful. It's something you could roll around in your brain for a while until you get a hold of it. So we're going to dismiss kids to Children's Church, ages 3 through 5th grade, have classes available. Parents, if you would take your children and sign them into class, please. And we are going to bring them, we're going to do communion at the end of the message today, so we will be bringing those kids back to you near the end of the message. So be looking for your child. I'll give an audible, go get them, so you'll know. And the teachers will bring them back. Just be looking for them to come back through the doors. And if you're at home today watching online, we are going to do communion at the end of the message if you want to get the elements for communion ready and available for yourself to partake in that with us at the end of service. I'd recommend you do that. And this is your commercial break. I'm just envious because they're eating biscuits and gravy in their pajamas. You know someone out there is doing it. And why not celebrate the Lord's resurrection with good biscuits and gravy? We traveled up on the mountain early this morning for the sunrise service. It was a balmy 28 degrees. It was beautiful. Turkeys parading everywhere and gobbling. Across the valley were a bunch of mule deer and whitetails prancing around, eating the grass. No bears, no elk this year. But it was great to gather early in the morning with a bunch of other believers from various bodies around the valley and just celebrate the Lord's resurrection together and give him honor and glory as a corporate body of believers around the valley. So if you missed out, there's always next year. It could be hail, wind, and snow next year. You never know. But it was gorgeous this morning. Easter Sunday. I don't have a title other than that. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. He's alive. No other religion gets to say that. Do you know how profound that is? How powerful that is? But Christ is alive. When he resurrected, it's not just a myth or a legend that they talked about or wrote about, but he showed himself to not only the 2 or the 3 or the 12, but to hundreds and hundreds of people. saw the Lord living and walking the earth after his resurrection. And usually on the account of two or three witnesses, you can confirm it and say, yep, that's true. He has hundreds of accounts of witnesses to say, I saw him after I saw him crucified and buried and laid in the grave. That's pretty powerful. At least for me, I could roll that around in my brain for a while and try to think of, like, how could this not have happened? How could this have been a hoax? It just doesn't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is he's alive. He went to the grave, died, and rose again. We're jumping back a few days, not necessarily on Resurrection Sunday to start with. We're going to jump back to the crucifixion. We're going to start there. The crucifixion, the example Christ left for us as he was being crucified and the betrayal and abuse that he suffered in those moments. And then we're going to jump ahead to what does Jesus invite or call us to? And then we're going to finish with the resurrection of what he has done for us and what that means for us as believers in Christ Jesus. So in Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 43. So Luke chapter 23, picking up at verse 32. Of course, this passage is all about Jesus' crucifixion, but we're going to jump into the middle of it at 32. Two other men, both criminals, some versions say thieves, some versions say rebels. The NIV, the North Idaho version, it says criminals. They also were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Don't you want to hear that from Jesus? Today you will be with me in paradise. I want to hear that. One day, maybe not today. So Jesus gives us this great example as he's there on the cross, as he's going through the crucifixion process. He has all the soldiers against him, beating him, whipping him, probably kicking him, punching him, plucking his beard, pounding the crown of thorns into his head. The whole process that left him in such disarray that he was unrecognizable. Not only that, but all the church people showed up too. All the religious leaders and rulers showed up to mock and jeer and tease and poke fun, and probably were even some of the people that were striking him and spitting upon him. Even his best friends, they didn't show up, they left him. They abandoned him. They betrayed him. They ran away for fear of their own lives. Betrayal, assault, abuse. Jesus is suffering this all in a matter of a few hours. eventually gets nailed to the cross, gets raised up, has criminals on both sides of him, and the one guy standing up for him is a criminal. Jesus is enduring all of this. And what does he say there in the red letters? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And he's not just talking to the criminals or the soldiers that nailed him there. He's talking to his disciples, to the religious leaders, to the community that just a week earlier were celebrating and praising and singing Hosanna. He's talking about you and I and our sin and our iniquity and our guilt and our shame, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus showed us how to endure pain well without sinning. An interesting fact I learned this week at one of the Holy Week services, I guess I didn't learn it, but the way the speaker said it was pretty cool. They offered him this gall vinegar, which was very bitter. It wasn't real good or tasty, but it was a painkiller or a numbing agent of the time. It was like our probably now Novocaine. They offered it to him, and as soon as Jesus found out what it was, he spit it out and said, I will not allow bitterness to jade the pain that I'm about to endure. I will not allow bitterness to defile me for what I'm about to endure. How many of us, when afflicted or wounded or assaulted or abused or mistreated or abandoned or betrayed, allow bitterness to then jade our love for those around us? Allow bitterness to jade or shape our relationships? Get rid of all bitterness. It tells us time and time again in the Word of God. Jesus did this so well. He would not accept the bitter drink. He would not take it in because he needed to fully feel the weight of the pain that he was saying, yes, I love Arby Shound so much. He's a mess, and without a Savior, he's not going to make it. So I'm going to die for him. And you can put your name in there. Because he did it for all the world. Not just Idahoans, although we're pretty great. Not just Arby Shounds, although I'm pretty amazing too because I'm made in his image and his likeness. Of myself, I'm not much, but with him, I'm pretty awesome. But put your name in there. Jesus looked down from that cross, said, Father, forgive Arby. He doesn't know what he's doing. Forgive his ignorance. Forgive his, whatever you've done, whatever sin you've committed, he said, forgive them. Forgive us. As he's in that moment of hurt and suffering and shame and pain. He wouldn't receive the painkiller or the numbing agent. He fully felt everything. He felt every lash of that whip, every slap, every punch, every thorn pressed into his head, the nails driven through his wrists and feet. He felt it all because he wanted to be fully present. I love in the end, or the middle part, Father, forgive them, but in the end, this criminal hanging on the cross next to him, saying, hey, leave him alone. He's done nothing. And the first criminal has a little bit of selfish ambition. Save yourself and us. Get us out of this. They want escape. This one wants just escape from this moment of pain, this moment of suffering. And sometimes we ourselves don't endure our pain well, and we just want escape from our pain. And so we choose substitutes. We choose alcohol. We choose drugs. We choose pornography. We choose isolation. We choose, what do you choose? Sometimes we choose bitterness. What will ease the pain in my life? Sometimes we choose a 24-pack of Mountain Dew. Sometimes we choose a box of Twinkies. Sometimes we choose, what do you choose to numb your pain? Because the example Christ gave us was not to numb our pain, but to work through our pain, to get to the other side of our pain. Because at the other end of pain is healing. At the other end of that pain is victory. There's no guilt, no shame. The second criminal, he's hanging there saying, man, we deserve what we got. But Lord Jesus, if you would remember me. He's like, I have nothing to offer. But if you would remember me when you enter into your kingdom, because I believe in who you are. He's suffering through his pain. He's not looking for an escape. He's looking for freedom. Because he knows without Christ, his soul is lost. He knows without Christ, there is no hope. And possibly those two criminals had watched the ministry of Jesus throughout their lives. Possibly they had had some encounters prior to that. I don't know. But I know one just wanted out of the moment and one wanted into eternity where there is freedom. Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25. This is back a few days. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's predicting his death, telling them what's about to happen. Picking up at verse 24 of Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me we'll find it. This is a hard verse to swallow. At least I think so. Take up your cross and follow me. We just gave a little bit of the description of what going to the cross looked like for Jesus. The betrayal, the mockery, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse, the spiritual abuse. Jesus says, if you really want to follow me and be my disciple, pick up your cross and come follow me. That's a lot to swallow. What does that mean for us as believers? Jesus invites us to be his disciples, and he warns us it's not an easy invitation. It means I've got to lay some things down. I've got to lay some things at the feet of Jesus and trust him with my life and all my plans. I have to yield to his plans. As Jesus invites us to take up our cross and follow him, he invites us to fully feel our pain. Do you fully feel your pain? I don't like to. I want it to go away quickly. I've been sick for about 5 weeks. Haven't been able to go on my walks with God. So this week, I'm like, I feel good enough, I'm going to try it. And I went up the lock saw, which probably is a dumb move for your first hike in a long time. I got about 100 yards up the hill, and my feet were cramping. Because town is like this. The lock saw is like this. It works muscles that you're not normally using around town. And my feet were cramping so bad, I was like, I just want to lay down and cry. But I've hiked long enough, I know if you work through it, it will re-stretch those muscles and tendons out, and, you know, in an hour or so, it'll feel better. Yeah. But you have to work through the pain to get to where you're going. Otherwise, you just lay down and go back to the truck and go, whoo, never doing that again. The lock saw is not a real friendly place. It's steep and hard. But, you know, life's not a real friendly place sometimes. It's steep and it's hard. And there's real pain and real suffering. And your pain, it has a voice and it will come out. How it comes out is according to how you deal with it. If you work through the pain, take it to Jesus over and over and over. Say, I can't deal with this on my own. I need you, Lord. I need your love. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. I need your compassion. I need your Or you can back off and bury it again, and sooner or later it's going to surface in a conversation, in a relationship, in a moment of weakness. Pain will resurface. As we enter into fully feeling our pain and working through it, we need to understand why. Why do I feel this way? What is the root behind this symptom that causes me this pain? As I'm hiking the locks, I know it's because my legs and feet have not seen steep ground in about 5 weeks. I was on an escalator, but I don't know if that counts because it moves you. That was the steepest thing I was on in 5 weeks, an escalator. Follow through and finish well. Jesus shows us how to follow through and finish well. Before the crucifixion, when he's in the garden, he's like, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He knows, I don't know if he knew in full detail what he was going to endure, but he knew it wasn't going to be pleasant. He knew it wasn't going to be fun. He said, Father, if it can pass, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus followed it through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Followed it through to the end, endured the cross, was buried in the grave, and got to the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, for finishing well. You and I need to finish well. Our families, our friends, our communities deserve it and need it. Apply faith and not fear. You have to apply faith to work through your pain. Sometimes pain creates fear inside of us. I don't know what's coming next. Are my legs going to fall off? It hurts so bad, I can't go another step. I can't go forward. Sometimes fear causes us to shrink back. But we need to have faith in our Lord and Savior. And it says, you said you'd never leave me. You said you'd never forsake me. I can't see you right now. I can't see what you're doing or you working in my life at all. But I'm going to trust your word where it says you are faithful. You are true. You said you'll never abandon me. I'm going to put my faith here and tell fear to leave. Apply your faith and not your fear. Refuse evil and embrace love. Not just you doing evil, but sometimes we allow evil to speak into our situation or our life, to jade our thoughts, to jade the clarity of what's really going on. But refuse evil and embrace love. Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life, died on the cross, and rose again. So that if you and I would believe and confess our faith in him, we would receive life everlasting. Believe in that love. There is a God that loves you so much that he believed you were worth dying for. And he paid the ultimate price for you and I, that we could live everlasting. So what does this pain look like in reality? I didn't have a story until I pulled into the parking lot this morning. And God gave me this story that I'm not proud of. We pulled into the parking lot and I reached for my Bible and notes and realized I left them at the house. I was instantly ticked off. Might have even said a bad word. Your pastor's not perfect. I'll admit that. My lovely wife, however, she looks over and goes, Jesus is risen. So I have this pain of insecurity, of worthlessness, of unworthiness that was instilled in me as a child, as a young boy, a young man even. That pain I would have used to kick myself all day. How could you be so dumb to forget your Bible like you're the pastor? Like it's your one responsibility on Sunday morning. I would kick myself for hours and maybe even days and maybe even months. And even at one point in my life, it was so bad that I was depressed and suicidal. That pain used to be that alive in me. That I believed the world would be a better off place without me in it. and attempted taking my life several times and thought about it many, many, many more. Because that pain had a voice and I was stuffing it and compacting it and pushing it down. And I was not taking it to Jesus. Of course, turned to drugs and alcohol and everything else. Tried to find some coping mechanisms, tried to find some numbing gall to numb the pain, to numb the guilt, to numb the shame, which pain compounds pain. And you just add more pain and it's a bigger ball of pain, and until you do the right thing with it and take it to Jesus. Jesus invites us to bring our pain to him, not to walk through it alone, but we do need to fully feel it. Why am I feeling this way? And then I eventually had to get to, but what do you say about me, Lord? And I got to that point of, well, your word says I'm worth dying for. And we're talking, this is a 25-year process. This didn't happen overnight in me. So before I got a mile down the highway today, I was okay with it. And like, you know what? We're not going to let the enemy win today. Because he was putting all kinds of thoughts in my head, like, you shouldn't even come back to church. You're not worthy of standing in front of these people and delivering God's word. And all these thoughts start racing through my head, and one by one I would have to counter them with who God says I am. One by one I would have to keep shooting them down. No, devil, Jesus says I'm worth dying for. The word of God tells me I'm created in his image and likeness. And I'm not a piece of trash. And I'm not worthless. And you have to go down and work through the pain. And the pain is much less these days. But if I don't take it to Jesus, if I don't fully feel it, why am I feeling this way? It'll have a voice, and it can be an ugly voice. And I would like to say it doesn't win these days. I don't think it has in a while. And it's much less pain than it used to be. But that's a place in my life that's getting healed over, but still a struggle. It's still real pain. Still something I have to overcome again and again. I need to follow through and finish well. I need to apply my faith and not my fear. My fear would say, well, what will people think if they hear? I was so angry in the parking lot on Sunday morning, on Easter morning of all days. But the fear creates the anger through the pain. Faith says, Jesus loves me. Jesus died for me when I was still a sinner. Jesus died for me when that pain was inflicted on me. Jesus says, I'm more than a conqueror. So that's what Jesus invites us to bring our pain to him. And then we have to get the truth of God's word that trumps the lie, the false thing that happened to us. And it might be a pain of addiction. It might be a pain of any number of abuses. But Jesus is so much greater. He paid for that on the cross, that you could walk in freedom. And when we get to communion, we're going to talk about that. But first of all, Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. Luke 24, verses 1 through 8. Of course, this is after Jesus has been crucified and buried. He's in the grave. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. The hope we have in Jesus. He is risen. Verses 1 through 4. The ladies are prepared for the worst, to go and prepare the body, to leave the spices and the oils on the body of Jesus. They're prepared for the worst, but hope for the best. Life is hard sometimes. Always prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Keep your hope in Jesus. They went to the grave that day to find it empty. They went in and were in wonder, like, tomb's open, there's no body, what happened? I believe in those moments their pain was causing misdirection or clouded judgment. They weren't remembering what Jesus had told them. Like, he told them over and over again, and we look at it and it's like, duh, but I'm sure in the moment we would have missed it too. Because Jesus promises us things and we miss it. And then we have to go, oh yeah. But pain will cloud your judgment. Pain will misdirect you. Pain will cause you to miss things. But we still have to work through it. Then we get to verse 6. He has risen. The good news, remember. In a few moments, we're going to take communion and remember what Christ has done for us. Verse 7, the promise of Jesus. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to raise again. And verse 8, when we remember, it's, oh yeah, let's celebrate. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can because he did. We can have freedom because he did raise from the dead. Jesus Christ did not pay for relief. He paid for redemption. Not just relief, but redemption. We are redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ. If you would get the Sunday school kids, we're going to bring the kids back in. As we do, we're going to take communion in a few moments. But as we look to communion, what are some things practical in our lives that Jesus Christ paid for? We're going to look at a list of 12 of those. For by one offering or sacrifice, he, being Jesus, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 10, verse 14. That's a promise of God's word. Through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, he paid for all of our sin, our debt, our wrongdoing. That's a promise we can stand on. When I said, when you're dealing with your pain, to go back to the word of God and the truth, when the devil starts saying, no, you're not good enough, or you're not qualified, or as a pastor, I talk to people often that, like, Christ invites us in our guilt, in our shame, in our sin. He says, I'm ready now. Just come get on board. Wherever you find yourself, Christ is ready to meet you. Sanctification is a process that we begin working out throughout the rest of our walk with Christ. It's not something we get justification immediately. Like, we are justified through the work of Christ on the cross. But sanctification, just like I talked about my pain, it used to take me out for hours or days or weeks or months. And now it was just a few minutes. But that's part of sanctification as we grow in relationship with Christ Jesus, as we become closer to being Christ-like as we're supposed to be as Christians. So the revelation, the cross has made me flawless. And of course, this is in the spirit, it's 100%, it's complete. In the flesh, we're still working it out. The spirit man of Arby is made perfect in Christ Jesus. The flesh man of Arby still got a few kinks need worked out. Okay? Remember, we're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus took my rebellion and independence and gave me restored fellowship. This is for each of us as believers in Christ Jesus, not just me. Jesus took my heart's iniquities and gave me a new heart and a new spirit. Jesus took my sins and gave me his righteousness. Jesus took my defeat by the power of sin and gave me power to live righteously. Jesus took my shame and gave me God's glory. Jesus took the curse and gave me God's blessing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus took my wounds and gave me his healing. Jesus took my poverty and gave me his riches. Jesus took my sorrows and regrets and gave me his hope. Jesus took my anxiety and gave me his joy and his peace. Jesus took my fear and rejection and gave me his adoption as a son or daughter of God. Jesus took death from me and gave me eternal life. So as we receive communion today, be thinking of what Christ has taken from you and what he's replaced it with. Because he doesn't just take from us, but he gives unto us to replace that which is not of him. Communion is the representation of Christ's blood and body that was given for us. The grape juice, the cracker, they represent Christ's body that was the ultimate sacrifice to pay for our debt, our sin. The life-giving power of Jesus Christ and his name. So as you receive today, be thinking possibly what Christ has already taken from you or what you need him to take. The Word of God tells us to ask and receive. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you to take my fear, my anxiety, my guilt, my shame. I need you to replace it with your love, your compassion, your peace, your joy, your worthiness. Be asking as you're in line waiting to come up, be thinking, Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm going to pray over communion and then we're going to receive. Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your Son who said, yes, and I will, and I did. Father, we thank you that he came willingly as a sacrifice for all mankind. God, that we may receive, God, your righteousness through him. God, that we may receive, God, eternity with you in heaven, where there is no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, no more shame. And God, we thank you that you loved us so much. God, that you gave your one and only Son. Father, as we receive and remember today, God, stir our hearts. God, where they need stirred to be more like you. God, stir our hearts to receive from you what you would have for us. God, to replace the lies and the false words spoken into us. God, to replace the deeds or the actions that have been done to us. God, that they would be replaced with your healing. God, your restoration. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to come and receive, we'll come down the middle aisles and go back up the walls. And you're welcome to come, take some extra time at the altar if you like, or meet together as a family in the front corners. Thank you.
how could I express all my gratitude? I could sing this song as I often do. Every song must end. Praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for I've got one of these songs. I've got just one with my arms stretched wide. I will worship you, so I throw up my hands, praise you. Hallelujah.
serve an amazing God. Cleanses us from all our sin, all unrighteousness. He offers us that if we'll bring it to Him. Our repentance and our acceptance of who He is puts us in right standing with the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. At the end of service here, we're going to invite our prayer team forward. And if you have any prayer needs whatsoever, come forward and get prayer. We talked about hurt and pain today. Sometimes that hurt and pain inside of us is sin that we've committed or are acting in. Sometimes that sin is something that's happened to us. Not necessarily what we did, but what happened to us. And it's still a sin, and it still creates hurt, and it creates pain. And it needs dealt with. And Jesus invites us, bring it to me, to the foot of the cross where I paid for it, and experience the resurrection life. Because He didn't stop here. That was a place of payment. That's where He did the work and paid for what we get to experience Resurrection Sunday, that list that we just read through. So I would encourage you at the end of service here to come forward and get prayer, whether it's regarding the message today or something else in life. But if you would pull out your folder, if you got one on the way in today, we have a few things in there we're going to talk about real quick. First one is the Connect card. Inside you'll find that. We just love to be connected with you, have a way to reach you if we need to keep you informed. If you want to be part of our email list, you can sign up on that also. The backside of this card, my decisions today, there's several decisions there. Possibly you didn't know you needed a Lord and a Savior named Jesus Christ. And He would say, I've decided today to follow Him. How do I become a follower of Christ is another box. I'm renewing my commitment to follow Christ. I will apply what I've learned today. I am interested in baptism. And the next box below that, next steps, life groups. If you're interested in joining a smaller group here at the church, being a part of one of those life groups, mark that box. Or if you're interested in serving here at the Life Center. And the last one, other information I'm curious about. And the most important, please pray for me. We love to be in prayer with you throughout the week regarding your needs. We have a whole team of people that do that and are a part of that. And you can drop those in the offering basket when it comes by in a few moments. Just drop your Connect card in there. There's also an offering envelope if you choose to use that. The Bible reading plan and our monthly calendar, what we have going on in April. So take all those things, take them home, use them, lose them, whatever you'd like. I'm going to invite our ushers forward. We're going to receive our morning tithe and offering. So if we could have our ushers come forward. I'm going to say a blessing over it, and then they will receive it, and also drop your Connect cards in there on the way by. So Father, we thank You. God, we praise You. God, because You are so good, You are so generous. And God, we just thank You for the opportunity to sow back into Your kingdom. God, we thank You for the many lives that we get to reach out and help, God, influence and be a part of because of the generosity of this body, God, and giving in obedience to You. God, we ask You bless that which is given, God, that it would be multiplied, God, to the use of Your kingdom. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.